Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Joining us on the line is Roy Rosette. It's 80 years or around about 80 years since the process of the Holocaust began. And we were debating a little bit earlier with our listeners, what is relevant, what is no longer relevant. And I was telling our listeners, when I grew up and televisions came to South Africa, my father wouldn't buy a Telefunken TV. He had to buy Philips because we wouldn't buy German. It's very hard to relate to that type of notion today, especially given the time distance, given the everything that has changed. So what is it that has become more important in this generation?
Well, I think that, again, the way your father felt and many people felt after the Holocaust is sort of an immediate feeling afterwards. Of course, the generations have changed. And so when you're talking about Europeans that you talk to today, whether they be Germans or others who had a hand in the Holocaust, of course, they didn't. It was their parents or grandparents. They really didn't. And so that's already a tremendous change. Same thing, that except for the survivors still among us, most of us did not go through the Holocaust.
Right.
It's something that's part of our family and national and human story. So that's certainly a change. But I think that there are many things that have changed in the way we approach the Holocaust and the way we try to understand it and what we try to take from it. First of all, I think we are much more careful about what we try to take from it than perhaps we were in the past, because we understand it better and the complexities around it.
Mm.
So very simple ideas, right? They're, you know, some of them are again, they're seen in a much more complex way, aspects of how Jews were responding, or even understanding the perpetrators, why they were doing what they were doing. We understand this better. And so those things become, we understand much more to explain. You know, it used to be ideas that the Germans were the only ones. Of course, they weren't the only ones involved in the Holocaust, and that it grew out of some sort of education that they had in Prussian militarism and such things. I think we understand that when you talk about perpetrators, it's a wide range of people. There's a lot of motivations why they do what they do, and even with all those things, we don't know. We can't say 100% why they do what they do, but we understand that that there was a lot of public discourse that was very negative about Jews, that racism and anti-Semitism were deeply entrenched in many places, that people wanted to change their world, and they thought that dealing with the Jewish problem was the answer to it, the Jewish problem that didn't exist, but the one that they believed existed. So again, we have a different understanding, and that means today, when we're talking about crimes, anything of the nature of another genocide, which the Holocaust is, of course, a genocide, but other kinds of genocides and other ethnic cleansings and things that happen, we need to understand those things much more in their complexity, and I think that's what we try to do much more today.
Mm. So in other words, it goes from almost being a gut emotional reaction to something a little bit deeper in terms of understanding.
When you're teaching, as a teacher, right, you're always trying to touch people's hearts and minds.
Oh, absolutely, sure.
So only touching their hearts won't be enough, and also only touching their minds may not necessarily be enough. You need people to empathize with what happened to Jews in the Holocaust and to other victims of Nazism. We want them to empathize with those things and not see them as so strange, to understand that these were people, and those not so different from who they are on the one hand.
Mm.
But you still want them to try to understand the processes and the things that were happening to people. It's one of the reasons why when we teach today, we always talk about larger historical processes and concepts, but we almost always go down to the stories on the levels of family and individuals in order to try to understand. And again, because you create empathy more by talking about people, because somebody says, oh, that person, again, is not so different from me.
There's also been a lot of watering down, where today everything is the Holocaust, specifically in America, where, for example, they speak about the vaccine green card or whatever it would be, equating it to a yellow Star of David the Jews were forced to wear during the Holocaust. How do we protect the memory of the Holocaust from that type of misuse?
Yeah, so for certain, the Holocaust, because it's become the standard of evil, although there are other evils that have occurred in history and we can't really grade them, but it has for many people become sort of the standard for what evil is all about. That tends to make it used in all kinds of places where it doesn't really belong. So on the one hand, you can't put the Holocaust on the pedestal and just look at it and say you can't touch it, don't do anything with it, you can't apply it in any way to your world. On the other hand, what we try to do so hard is to have people and ask them to write about it, to talk about it, to teach about it, that you need to be careful in your use of it. And one of the things that we teach a lot at Yad Vashem is that you don't equate, because nothing is the Holocaust, because nothing is any historical event. They don't repeat themselves. Mm-hmm. Right? Things can remind you of, they can be reminiscent of, they can have similarities to, so that when you're talking about things, you can talk about them in terms of how they are similar to remind you in some way, evoke, right? And in those ways, talk about it. And then the other thing is certainly the banalization of the Holocaust and using it to talk about, you know, wearing masks as if that's some sort of Hitler decree or something. Mm. Again, to be careful, you have to call it out when you see it. And we, as I said, you need to kind of keep a middle road about it, because it's not that you can't touch the Holocaust, but again, you don't want it to be trivialized and cheapened. But it's an issue of education, ultimately, in its widest sense. Because it's about education in the classroom, but it's also about educational outreach through social media, even today, everywhere you can do it, to try to help people understand how to try to use the Holocaust in a more reasonable way, I suppose, is the best word to say.
Our Israeli correspondent this morning referred to a talk show host, I'm not sure if it was on radio or television in Israel, this morning, who made some kind of a comment about how Holocaust memories aren't necessarily needed as much today as then. And we got into a conversation with our listeners around it, and one of our listeners, I think, put it very well when they said that well, in Israel, there's no, Jews are not othered, whereas outside of Israel, of course, we are, which means potentially the Holocaust seems more relevant to those of us living outside of Israel than those living inside of Israel. Would you agree with that? And is it a concern for you if this is a thought within the borders of the country?
Well, again, there's so much that's said about the Holocaust in so many ways it's discussed that it's hard to answer a question like that, but what I really think is this, that the Holocaust was a very particular event in which Germans and the people working with them set out to destroy the Jews. And so it's a particular event, but because it's about human beings, it's also a very universal event, which means that the Holocaust has ramifications on many different levels. For the Jews everywhere, really, and for the non-Jews who were part of the Holocaust, lived in those areas, took part in it actively or less actively, or perhaps were among the very tiny minority of rescuers and their families. And, of course, for all mankind, because, as I say, it's got all that very universal aspects to it. So I don't think the Holocaust is less relevant, and it needs to be spoken about less. It's not necessarily the same discourse that there might have been about that. What we need to do is prevent the next Holocaust from happening to the Jews. That's not necessarily the issue. That's one thing. The other thing is that today with anti-Semitism, that unfortunately we've discussed so much now, because we're seeing it more than ever before. I mean, since, you know, the end of the Holocaust year, they don't know if it's more, but we see it more. You know, that's more relevant to Jewish communities outside of Israel, of course, in the sense that they're the ones who are being targeted more directly most of the time. Although some anti-Semitism discourse is about the state of Israel and about Israel and Israelis, so here, too, there's a targeting. So, but perhaps Jews in Israel feel more secure when those things happen, and Jews outside of Israel feel less secure because it can touch them directly in many ways. But I don't think that that means the Holocaust, again, is more relevant there than it is here. It's just that part of the discussion is a little bit different. I still think here that the kinds of things that brought about the Holocaust are very important for Israelis and for Israelis to be informed by our history and for the things we decide to do as a people and as individuals, I think that's still very, very relevant.
Mm-hmm. Especially when you look at the threatenings of Iran, the whole notion of genocide, both denying the Holocaust whilst threatening to annihilate Israel at the same time, these things are absolutely relevant.
Well, the Holocaust is since it is a genocide, a specific genocide, right? Every genocide is in and of itself very specific. The discussions about genocide, again, that happened in the public, they're important also about discussing the Holocaust. And the Holocaust is the most well-researched and documented case of genocide that's ever happened. So we know more about it than really anything else. So the chances are that we might not learn how to deal with those other genocides or ones that are developing, but we might have some insights about it based on our study of the Holocaust.
Right, absolutely. Roy Rosette, that's unfortunately where we do need to leave it. Historian at Yad Vashem, thank you for taking the time to speak to us.